This episode, we speak to Nigel. If you've ever seen the Marketfield films around Christmas time or the transitions of new buildings, they're all filmed by Nigel. And Nigel gives us his perspective of working in Marketfield, of his journey to becoming a filmmaker and being diabetic too. We have a website, multischoolscouncil.org.uk. Okay, Nigel, what got you into filming?
I've done quite a few things. So I spent quite a long time doing stuff with the military. And I left the military and I wasn't sure what to do. And I made the mistake of doing what a lot of people do, which is, what does my father do? What does my father do? So I am actually a qualified accountant, believe it or not.
Okay.
I went and did qualified accountancy, which was paid for by the army. And I then went from the army and I got a great job as a general manager of a very large design agency. So I went from one day being kind of military and doing all sorts of interesting things to the next day sitting in an office with a load of folders which had balance sheets and bank recs. And I thought, oh my God, what have I done? So to cut an awfully long story short, I went straight down the back where they were doing all the design work and the interesting stuff and thought, ooh, I like that. And so it came quite late to me in life, the fact that actually I was a creative. Though all my life it had been trying to come out because I'd always drawn and I was a pretty good amateur photographer. Then to skip forward a bit, I thought, I like this. So started my own business up, which was on paper pretty silly, really, because I didn't really have any customers or anything and I didn't really have a particular skill, if I'm honest. But literally opened the business. The first phone call was from an old contact who said, Nigel, you make films, don't you? And I said, yes, we've got a new business. We definitely make films. And he went, oh, right, that's it. And so one thing led to another and we went off and made this film. And then I thought, hang on, now this is something I can really do. So it is the oldest story in the book, actually, that you try many other things and actually being pigeonholed or thinking and saying to children, actually, when you're 11, 12, right, now make a decision what you want to do for the rest of your life is just a little bit ridiculous because I was pretty much 31, 32 before I actually thought, well, at 30, before I actually thought, oh, this is something I like and I can do. And that's that. From that day to this, I've made films and loved every second of it.
It's interesting you say it because we spoke to some children recently who said exactly what you just did about not knowing what they want to do and feeling under pressure to make a decision. But it's good hearing from someone like yourself who had a few years to decide. So, but if there are any young people that are listening to this that do know they want to get into filming or media along those lines, what advice would you have for them?
I think if you think, oh, I really like this, I think then don't worry about equipment. You don't have to have the best camera to make the best film. Trust me. Okay. Don't worry about making some boo-boos and mistakes along the way. At the end of the day, you're going to go, but the one thing you've got to have is energy. If you really truly like it and you think it's right, then you've got to have so much energy to go out there and put yourself forward and say, I want to do this, and ask people if you can do things, have ideas, run with the ideas, and really just go for it. It is, making films is definitely a passion. So there's two sorts of things you can do. You'll hear of a videographer and a filmmaker. So I definitely regard myself as a filmmaker. Now, some people would say, well, there's not that much difference between the two. There are. So if, for instance, you wanted to be a videographer, it's far more documenting and what we would call ENG. So that's electronics news gathering. So that means you turn up at the opening of a fete with a camera and you get the cutting of the ribbon and you get a couple of interviews saying, isn't it a lovely fete? And then there's the filmmaker where you want to take a story and you want to then tell something like I've done for Marketfield School in the past where you say, this is a person, let's hear their story, let's make it visually pleasing and get a bit deeper into what's going on. So my recommendation, if you like anything like that, have passion, have energy, get out there, have a go, make some mistakes, ask people what they think. And then as you get older, all of that stuff really develops and you start getting your own style, your own thing. And there'll be some people won't like it. Always going to be some people don't like it. But, you know, I always say, if somebody goes, that's rubbish, best thing you can ever hear. Because number one, you can learn from it. Number two, they've watched it. So you kind of got it already. If you watched it, you're like, I got you. And if they're saying it's rubbish, then you've brought out a passion and a thing from them to go, right, now I will change that next time, because you just know they're probably going to watch it, whatever you do next.
I really like the way you look at that. That's a really good way to look at things, not just with filming.
Never look at people telling you you've been bad or been rubbish or anything like that, because number one thing is life is a learning curve.
Yeah.
There's no point kind of saying, if you've got everything right in your life, how boring would that be?
Absolutely.
So actually, and criticism, usually, in my experience, is well meant. So if somebody says to you, that was rubbish, or your hair looks rubbish, well, that's because they care, because they want to say, actually, your hair looks rubbish and I'd like it to look nicer. So actually, is it a criticism or is it something nice? Now, I know from my years of knowing you, you've had some awful hairdos.
I was just about to say, I haven't really done my hair today, Nigel. So I know other people can't see this, but you can.
You kick a ball badly, kick it again, because next time you'll kick it harder.
So you mentioned Market Field there. Obviously, that's how we met. And you mentioned, you know, my strange haircuts that have gone along with that. But you've obviously worked with Market Field for a number of years.
When I came to Market Field School, it was an awfully long time ago in the old school, long before that went. But growing up, my father was the bursar of a group of special education schools.
Ah, okay.
So from growing up, I have been in and around schools. I think the big difference is when I came to Market Field School, I saw a completely different attitude. I saw a completely different way of looking at education for children that need a bit extra. And that's what actually drove my passion. It was the first time I met Gary, who I think is fantastic. And the moment where he said, well, Nige, I don't care what people can't do. I care what they can do. And then you just think, that's just so true in life.
Yeah.
And I've always said to my children, never, ever waste time worrying about the things you can't change or the things you can't do, because actually that's just a waste. And then when Gary applies that to education, then I think that's a magical thing. And that's what I think of Market Field School. When I walked in there and then you meet these amazing people of all different ages going through all sorts of different things, and you think to yourself, this is a fantastic environment where normally maybe they wouldn't be the flower that comes to the top of the rose bush, but here everybody's given that chance to show themselves. And I was always, and still am, just humbled to have been involved. I've loved it.
Yeah, you mentioned the old school site there, and then you personally have actually been involved with the transition, because you're the man behind the camera who did all the updates.
I turned up every time, yes. Every time there was a new bit of the building went up, I would go out with Gary with his hard hat with hammers written on it, to which the builders would take great delight in telling him it was the worst football club ever. Doesn't mean anything to me. I thought it was a hockey club. So I saw the building come up, and I saw Gary's passion. I mean, and you were involved the whole way through, and you just see... You see the children turn up as bits of the building went up, and then you saw the children grow up and change, and you see what it's become, and it's an impressive place.
Yeah, you've done all the Christmas films and stuff as well. You've been involved with the multi-schools. You've done films to help us out as well. Could you give us maybe some of your top memories or your best bits from being involved over the last few years?
I've loved everything I've done. I've also found it on occasions quite emotional. I remember doing a multi-school council film with, I can't remember his name, a lovely lad who did the boxing.
Yep.
Yep. And he was such a lovely lad, and he was passionate about boxing, and we went filming with him and he did his boxing.
Yeah, Ben.
And the boxing teacher said he was a lovely lad. But then when I showed the film, I sat watching him as he showed the film to his contemporaries, and his chest got bigger, and he felt, you could see him look at me, and I found that quite emotional. And then that's memories, but I've had so much fun. I mean, especially the Christmas films at Market Field School, which I suggested many years ago. I said, look, let's make a Christmas video for a bit of fun, because you were in the transition school.
Yeah.
So Gary said, yeah, that's a great idea, Nigel. So I came along and it was just a bit of fun. I said, I'll make you a Christmas video because, you know, you're in this strange school. Let's get as many faces as we can. And it was a big hit. Everybody loved it, which has got nothing to do with me and my filmmaking. It's got everything to do with those lovely faces. And having a bit of fun. And I think that's the big thing. Everybody always has a bit of fun. You can grab a child or a teacher from any class at any point and say, we're in.
Yeah.
So there's been many things, playing football, trying to get shots of football when you realise how hard it is to try and film people playing football. But there have just been so many lovely children along the way and so many characters. And I've just loved filming children. When you go to mainstream education, whatever that is, and you've got 15-year-olds walking around, and then you come to Market Field and the same age child is just pleased to see you, is interested and wants to get involved, and you think this is just a bubble of niceness, actually. And
yeah.
So it's been my pleasure, really. Honestly, it's been my pleasure.
Well, that's what I was going to bring it back to. I mean, the children know you when you come in. You've got that relationship with them. I think that's the great thing about Market Field. The kids connect with people they know that care. So if they can see that you care and you want to get involved, then they'll take to you.
As you know, I'm 6'6", and Gary's always just called me Big Nige. So yeah, it's the only school in the world that I would probably allow it as well. Because yeah, I'm quite old-fashioned, where the children just come up to me and say, "Hello, Big Nige." And, you know, I like that because I think they deserve it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You mentioned there about deserving and other things. You've been involved in some other projects, and I was going to ask you lastly about any upcoming projects that you've got. I know that you've done a lot of work with Magic Moments. Could you touch a little bit on what you've got coming up and the charity work there?
Well, I'm a trustee of a lovely charity called Magic Moments, where we basically take children who are dying and their families for a last adventure to Disney, which sounds wonderful, and it is. And these families are picked by children's hospices, so they're the families that need it the most, if that makes sense. So they come from some pretty challenging backgrounds. A lot of their siblings are quite challenging. So I feel like when I got involved with it, there was quite a synergy to what I've been doing with Market Field School. Obviously this year is going to be very hard for us because we can't go on any of the trips. So I'm doing stuff with that. I've still got some stuff to do for Market Field School before the end of the year. I think Gary'd like to get some messages out. I think looking forward, I think it's lovely to be involved with children and families who need that bit of help, need that bit of communication. And as a filmmaker, I do stuff for the Ministry of Defence and the NHS. And when I can help to communicate through the power of video, through a bit of personality and getting to know people, what these people are going through, what Market Fields meant to them, what going on a Disney trip at the end of your child's life means to them, then I think that's it's a gift that I've been very lucky to have, and I certainly take it quite seriously. So there's always more. There's always more people need communication. So I'll still be here trying to earn a living, but trying to get those messages out there.
It's almost like you've listened to some of our podcast, because the communication theme has been something that was ran through every episode, really, because it's so key with all our children. I've got a bonus question, actually, because of the conversation we had beforehand. Doesn't link as much to what we just said, but you mentioned about being diabetic, and we've released a podcast all about diabetes, a young lad talking about it. But from your perspective, Nigel, how has diabetes affected you in your life and with your filming and just everything in general?
Yeah, well, I've got a very unusual form of diabetes. I'm type 2, okay, but I have insulin, and I got it when I was literally just in my early 30s. Both my parents are diabetic, so it's an extreme form of type 2 diabetes. And on the day I was told I was diabetes, I think one of the big things is about the way people feel about diabetes, because as soon as you're type 2 diabetes, it's because you're fat and you're lazy and you eat badly. And on the day that I got told I was diabetic, I'd run 5 miles in my lunch hour. And I still keep fit. I do the 3 peaks nearly every year for Magic Moments. But I think it's actually, for me, been the psychological pressure of diabetes that's been the biggest effect, because you can eat more sensibly and you can exercise. But having that pressure of knowing you're diabetic and you've got to worry about it all the time, is horrible, actually. I think that's something that people don't think about. They think, oh, right, you can't eat as much, or you've got to inject yourself, or all this or all that. But actually, I think they should think about the pressure it puts on people's minds, because it's constantly there. It's constantly there, and it kind of ruins everything you do a bit. And you know, now I'm a 51-year-old diabetic. You know, I think the pressure is there, but equally, like everything else in life, you've got an awful lot of control to do it yourself. So I do go for a run or a walk every day. I try and eat as sensibly as I can. But I think it's the psychological side that you should always remember. If you meet somebody with diabetes, be interested. Don't instantly think, oh, that's their fault. It's not their fault. If you ever find, if you've got a friend who's diabetic and you see something that looks nice, sugar-free, treat them to it, because it means the world to somebody who's diabetic, because it means you've got that they're going through something bad. And actually, that means more than anything.
Yep. No, absolutely.
So, Kieran, next time you see sugar-free biscuits, I will be expecting a pack on my doorstep.
Of course, great. Okay, fantastic. That's really good perspective as well, because it gives a different side to the young lad we spoke to. So thanks very much, Nigel, for everything you spoke about, the filming and how people might be able to get into it, and your work with Markerfield. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people interested in that side of it. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and the Multi School Council, I've been very proud to be involved with it. So you keep going.
Cheers. Thank you, Nigel. Take care, mate.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone. So let's start today.